So, no, running people won't stand still. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm afraid to do. Amen. Good job. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to see you today. How good to be in the house of the Lord, to praise Him and give Him thanks for His goodness, His grace, His mercy. Amen. I'd rather be here than in jail, in the hospital, or anywhere else, really. Am I only one place I like other than this place, and that's the house. Amen. That's where I'm going after church. I'm going to the house. But I'm glad, being it's the Lord's day, to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to be with you to worship this morning. Amen. What a joy it is. God is so good, and He's worthy of all that we could ever praise Him for and thank Him for. Hallelujah. Well, open your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. We've been preaching on the subject, Voices from Unexpected Places. And we began preaching on the subject, Voices from Heaven. Voices from Heaven. Well, that's what I'd like to receive this morning. Amen. A word from heaven. I tell you, I'm tired of hearing what this world has got to say. That's why we're here this morning. Amen. Shut the world out and let's see what God has to say. I remember many years ago, whenever I was a lost sinner, before God saved me, I'd make the comment, well, if there's a God, why doesn't He appear in the sky and make Himself known? Then we might believe on Him. I'm sure God got a chuckle. You know, God does have a sense of humor. If you've read the Bible, then you know that. He chuckled at my ignorance and chuckled because one day I'd be preaching this very message. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're talking about voices from heaven. We've covered two messages thus far. We've got two to go about voices from heaven. We've talked about the voice of weather. The voice of weather. Last week we talked about the voice from heaven of warning. Warning. Going to talk this morning on the subject of the voice of witness. The voice of witness. Now, what is a witness? Well, whether it's in everyday terms or judicial terms, a witness is somebody who bears record to an event or the truth or the validity of a fact. Amen. You see, if God had listened or paid attention to my foolishness, and if the Lord had appeared in the sky and I did see Him, do you think I would have been quiet about it after that? No. Probably nobody would believe me, even though I was what? A witness to the fact. Now, this is one of the interesting things about the Bible. God always confirms things. And He does that through multiple witnesses. Now, if I said Jesus appeared to me in the sky and I testify to you, I bear witness to that fact, many people would say, well, you know, Murphy's crazy. He's been that way a long time. So you really can't pay much attention to what he's saying. But if somebody else was with me, if Brother Larry was with me, and he saw it also, and there were two witnesses, then that would add more validity to the truth of what I was saying. Why? We had two witnesses. Now, that's what the Bible says. In the law that God gave in the Old Testament, He said this, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every thing or every matter be confirmed. If one person came up and I saw somebody steal such and such item, that would not hold up in the divine court. It would have to be confirmed by at least one other witness. Three places in the law it says that. A man cannot be convicted upon the testimony of only one witness. Well, you need to understand something. God is God. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he decides or he wants to do. But there are certain things that God will not do. I may teach on that some Wednesday night. But one thing he will never do is deny himself, which means violate his own law and word. And so we see this throughout the Bible, things being confirmed by witnesses. Amen. And so when Jesus was born at his birth, there were multiple witnesses. Now, what's really interesting to hear to see is that many times God will provide a heavenly witness and a human witness. Amen. When Jesus was born, there were shepherds keeping their flocks, amen, in the fields. And all of a sudden, the glory of God shone around them, and angels of heaven appeared there with them. And the shepherds, of course, were very afraid. They said, "Fear not, for unto thee this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They told him where to find him, what he would look like when they found him. They went and they found him. Two witnesses here to the birth of Jesus. The angels in heaven who appeared, the shepherds, the humans. They went and they found Jesus wrapped just as the angel said that he would be. You know what happened when they left that place? Amen. The scripture says when they had seen it, they made it known abroad that which they had seen. And all that heard it wondered at the words of the shepherds. And so witnesses build upon witnesses. There were two witnesses at the birth of Christ. Amen. There were witnesses of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. He carried Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says, as he prayed, he was, this is the Bible word, transfigured. That means simply transformed. It's the way it's used in other places in the Bible. He changed. And what happened was through his human body that they were familiar with broke through the light and the glory of God. And the Bible says his countenance did shine. We see witnesses to that fact. Peter testifies to it. John testifies to it in the letters that they write later. Here's Peter, James, and John, the human witnesses. But the Bible says suddenly two men appeared on the mountain with Jesus. And the Bible tells us who they were. They were Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says they spake with Jesus concerning his death. So here we are, three human witnesses to the divinity and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have two witnesses on the other side, amen, who testified to the same thing. And son, I won't tell you, their testimony is not through. Their testimony is not through. The Bible says when Jesus was crucified, said there were two thieves with him, one on the either side. You say, well, I thought you was talking about heavenly witness and human witness. Well, guess what, my friend? One of them is a witness in heaven right now. The other one's a witness in hell. Yeah. Wow. Witnesses to the death, the crucifixion of Christ. Then they went to the tomb, witnesses to the resurrection. Mary was there first, the other women following her. The Bible says they looked into that tomb and saw that the body of Jesus was gone. But they saw something else. They saw two men in shining garments. One of the other Gospels calls them angels. One sitting at the feet of where Jesus was, one sitting at the head. And they said this, said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead. Guess what? We've got heavenly witnesses, human witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that would only increase in time. After 40 days, went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus says, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me into the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he was ascended, went up into the clouds, the Bible says, and taken out of their sight. When they took their eyes off Jesus was there, they saw two men. Once again, not mortal men, but heavenly men. Amen. Amen. And they said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? Don't you know this same Lord Jesus that you've seen taken up from you will come in such a like manner as you've seen him go up? Amen. He went up in the clouds. The Bible says when he returns, he's returning in the clouds of, hallelujah, of glory. But here we have human witnesses to his ascension. We have heavenly witnesses to his ascension. Then one other final testimony of two. When we get to the book of Revelation, chapter number 11, we see two witnesses are sent, and I believe they're Moses and Elijah again. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says they're two olive trees and two candlesticks that stand before the throne of the Lord. But they're called witnesses. And they begin to preach to Israel, and they can do the same things, the miracles that Moses and Elijah did. Amen. Amen. And they're testifying to the judgment of God that is falling upon this earth. They're testifying to the fulfillment of the word of God concerning the nation Israel. Listen, my brothers and sisters, don't you think they're living over in that land now since 1948 by accident? My friend, it is so because of the decree of God. And so we're talking this morning about a voice from heaven, which is a voice of witness, a voice of witness. Once again, we're going to see voices that are heavenly, voices that are human. Matthew chapter 3, and let me find the verse. Verse number 13. Matthew 3, verse number 13. John's, the Jordan River, he's baptizing sinners as they come. His baptism is a baptism of repentance. It's intended for sinners. And of course, everybody is a sinner, except for one. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. He resisted him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a what? Voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. That's what I want to focus on. What that voice from heaven said. John the Baptist is the earthly witness, and we'll deal with him in just a minute. But I want to focus on what the voice from heaven said. What did it say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. My soul, what do we see in these words from this voice of heaven? The first thing we see is the identity of Jesus. Amen. What did he say? He said, "This, this is my son." Not that, not those, not them, but this particular individual, this one that you perceive as a natural, normal human being who has been baptized with all of these sinners identifying with him, this one, he's identified, this one is my beloved son. Now we could talk for a good while about what I call the hidden Christ. You remember as soon as Jesus was born, after the testimony of the wise men, Herod sent his people to look for where Jesus was born that he might slay him. Matter of fact, he said, just to make sure you get him, you slay all the male children that are under 2 years of age. Yeah. Amen. And the Bible warned Joseph in a dream to take Jesus and his family down into Egypt. Amen. Yeah. Then one day that voice returned to him. Said, he that sought to slay the child is dead. You can go back home now. And they did. They returned and they began to live in Nazareth. Jesus was called the carpenter. He was called the carpenter's son. That was his trade. That was that which he did. But nowhere during that period of time, until this period of time that we just read to you, did anybody have any idea that he was the Messiah or the Son of God. Now, there's only two people that may have had an inkling. We could throw in a couple more, maybe. But one was Mary. Every time she heard something, the Bible says, she pondered this in her heart. Or she kept it in her heart. But when Jesus was baptized, that was when he was identified. Friend, I want to tell you something. Had Satan known who he was, had Satan known where he was, he would have for 30 years tried to have killed him. Why? He was the only one that was a threat to him. That's why, amen. Amen. Devil leaves you alone because you're not a threat to him. Devil leaves me alone when I'm not a threat to him. But son, I want to tell you, you become a threat to his kingdom, he'll go to messing with you. That's why a lot of people don't do nothing. They don't want the devil messing with them. And I can understand that. But friend, that's what we've got to do sometime. He said, this is my beloved son. That one right there. Witness from heaven. Amen. Well, let's look at that a little bit. I want you to flip over to the Gospel of John. You see, God always provides a witness. This witness was particularly for John, but John was not going to keep it to himself, John the Baptist. John, excuse me, chapter number one. Excuse me. John chapter number one. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Now he's already baptized him. This is the next day, look. Well, it actually was more than that. It was after the manifestation of what he preached before and being questioned, because Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tested of the devil. But the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What is John doing? He's a witness. He's being a witness. He's bearing witness. Now look what he said in verse 30. This is he. There's that same word, this. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Why? Or he was before me. Now look what he says here. And I knew him not. Now this is intriguing, and I want to tell you why. If you read about the birth of Jesus and the visit of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth, you understand that John and Jesus were cousins. More than likely second cousins, but they were cousins. And so when John says, I knew him not, he's not saying that I never made any acquaintance with him or knew about his existence. What he's saying was, I did not know that my own cousin was the promised Messiah, that he was the Lamb of God, that he was the Son of God. Well, how did he find it out? Well, let's look and see. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. What's he saying? I didn't know who he was. I couldn't point him out to anybody. But one thing I did know about him was he was going to be sent to the nation of Israel. That's all I knew at the time. Now look at verse 32. And John, look at here. John bear record. Now, what is he bearing record of? What is he saying he's a witness of? Look at it. He bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Then he repeats himself, and I knew him not before that time. But he that sent me to baptize. Boy, we're going back in time now. We're finding out why John was called John the Baptizer, why he did what he did. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Here's the message. God let John in on a little secret while he himself was in the wilderness. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And John says, and I saw and I bear record that this is cousin Jesus. No, that ain't what he says. I bear record based upon what God told me was going to happen. Based upon what God told me to look for, I bear record that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Woo! What a tremendous message. Jesus said there was not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. Whew, that's what he thought about him. That's them cousins, amen. You see, John may have known Jesus after the flesh, but he had no idea that he was the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what he did know about Jesus. Are you ready? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It's totally different than the baptism that we do. People talk about Jesus being obedient, being baptized. They don't have no idea what the Scripture says. His baptism was a baptism of repentance. For what? For who? For sinners. They were coming to repent of their sins and be baptized. And Jesus comes. And why did John resist? Why didn't he just baptize Jesus? I'm going to tell you why. John knew enough about his cousin to know that he was a more righteous man than he was. So he says, cousin, I'm paraphrasing, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. So he knew that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he wasn't known as the Christ then, that he was a more righteous man. And at the very least, in John's mind, less of a sinner than John himself was. So he did know a great bit about Jesus before the baptism. But son, when that voice came from heaven and testified, he was identified. This is my beloved son. How did John know it? Because God already told John, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that's the one you're preparing the way for. Can you imagine a shock? I had a lot of cousins when I was coming up. The shock of coming to find out that your own cousin was the promised one of Israel, and it being made known to you that he was not only, my friend, the son of Mary, but he was the son of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! I'm going to tell you, take a lot of faith for that, wouldn't it? It sure would. Hallelujah. So we see the identification of Jesus, the Son. We see he was the predicted one. He was the preferred one. John said, why? He was before me. He was before me. He was the pre-existing one. But now he is the present one. This is my Son. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not only did this voice of heaven reveal the identity of Jesus, but it also reveals the divinity of Jesus. The voice said, this is my beloved Son. Now, friend, what's different about this than some of the other witnesses we talked about, which were primarily what? Angels? This voice is not an angel. There's no description of the one who is speaking, amen. But we realize from the pronouns and the adjectives that are used that this has to be God the Father speaking. This is my beloved Son. And that implies that if God is declaring that about somebody, that my friend, he is the Son of God. Therefore, he is divine. Now, what did John bear witness to over in John chapter 1? He said, I declare, I bear record that this is the Son of God. He got the message. Hallelujah. Amen. God says he's no mortal man. He's no mere man. He's no corruptible man. He's not a sinful man. This is my Son. Hallelujah. The Bible says of him in Egypt, and the Old Testament says, out of Israel I called my Son. That applies to two dealings of God. First, when he called the nation of Israel, who's called the Son of God, out of Egypt, and then when he called Jesus and his family back out of Egypt after Herod tried to kill him. Amen. Amen. This is my Son. That shows relationship. Amen. Now the Bible says no man has seen God at any time here in John chapter 1. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him or made him manifest or known. He said, no man seen God at any time. But when Jesus appeared, all of a sudden, man had a glimpse of God himself in the flesh. Jesus not only talked about that relationship, but he talked about that partnership, if you will. There in John chapter 10, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Amen? He said in John 6, he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. The night before the crucifixion, when he was trying to comfort his disciples about him leaving, he said, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, this other crowd may know it, but I don't know it, Lord. Philip said, we're a little troubled now. If you'll just show us the Father, it will satisfy us. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you such a long time and you don't realize that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Paul said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Amen. We see the divinity of Christ revealed. Hallelujah. Not only that, we see what I call the singularity of Jesus. Friend, there are many religions in the world. Many religions in the world, but there's only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus. He said, this is my beloved. The Bible says that Adam was the son of God. Look at Luke chapter 3 and the last verse in that chapter there. It says Adam was the son of God. Amen. But he was the created son of God. Jesus was never created. Some people think he was created because Colossians says he was the firstborn of God's creation. That don't have nothing to do with the timeline. That has to do with privilege. The firstborn always had a double inheritance. We are heirs with Christ. All that simply means, my friend, is because he's the firstborn, he has the right to double portion of inheritance, and then he shares that inheritance with us. This is my beloved son. Now, what does that mean? Beloved, that's a beautiful word, an interesting word. If I say I love you, women, that can get me smiles or it can get me hurt, can't it? Many of you, I hug your necks, don't I? That's always dangerous, Brother Larry. I love you women. But there's one particular woman that's here today that I love more than any of you, and she is my beloved. Sure, I love you all, but there's one that is special to me, that is beloved above all others. Amen. That's why I call it the singularity of Christ. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, he's not only a beloved son, he's a begotten son. My friend, he's the apple of God's eye.
Yes, sir.
The Bible, you need to understand it. You find it also in the book of Colossians. Learn about the preeminence of Christ. Amen. Amen. The church is beloved to God. It's called the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Now you won't even get in trouble. You mess with the man's bride. She's beloved to him. It's what the Bible says. The church is the bride of Christ. We're going to be married one day. Amen. We're engaged right now. It's what the Bible teaches. I'll never forget when I was in high school, Warner Robins, Georgia. I forget who was playing, but I went to the ball game. And I'm in the bleachers there. And here I see a group coming in. And this one in the front of the pack, I know he's a troublemaker. He's not in school. He's done left school. Wearing leather jacket, like a motorcycle jacket in it. He's trouble. He thinks he's trouble. And right down here to my left, I made sure to avoid them. I see this fella, and he's got his girlfriend with him. And I watch him as they walk across, and he goes up to this man, this schoolboy. He's a pretty big schoolboy. And I don't know what that fella said, but he walked up to that fella's girlfriend. I don't know what he said, but he said something he ought not have said. Now, he thought he was a bad boy, and he wanted to make everybody think he was a bad fella. But that fella just hit him one time. When he hit him, that thug's two front teeth landed right at my feet. Now, I'm not joking, I'm telling you. What I lived through. Huh? Why did that happen? That young lady was his beloved at that time. You don't mess with anybody's beloved, amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. This world hates God's Son. He hates the message of God's Son because God's death, burial, and resurrection declares us all to be sinners and in need of a God and in need of salvation. It reveals to the world that there is a right and wrong in this world. What makes adultery wrong? God said it. What makes murder wrong? God said it. That's why the world hates God. They want to set their own standards and their own rules. And because they hate those things, they hate he who bears the message. They hate Jesus Christ, but they don't realize he's God's beloved. And one of these days, they're going to pay the price for all the blasphemy, the hate, and all the wickedness they've executed out of their hatred for God's Son. I want to tell you what this Bible teaches. There's coming a time when God will get fed up with these nations and their wickedness. And when that happens, he's going to return, and he's not returning as a lamb. He's returning as a lion. He's not returning to die for the world. He's coming, my friend, to execute his wrath upon this world for hating his Son, rejecting his Son, blaspheming his Son. And you know what the people will say at that time? They won't be boasting on television about killing their babies. The Bible says they'll be crying, and they'll be crying to the rocks and the hills to fall upon them and cover them from the wrath of him who sits on the throne. Jesus of Nazareth is God's beloved Son. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not Hare Krishna, none of that crowd. He's identified and he's singled out. This is my beloved Son. Then we see the similarity of Jesus. This is my beloved Son. Now I tell people all the time, you cannot beat genetics. You can treat symptoms, but you can't beat genetics. Oh. I had two neighbors lived across the road. Joe Wheat was his name. Find a man, Christians you'd ever want to meet. He lived healthy. He ate healthy. He did everything healthy, but he had a blood cholesterol that was in the clouds. It wasn't nothing he did. He got it from his daddy. His daddy was the same way. It was genetic, you see. And you can't beat genetics. I remember when Donovan was born, we were all there at the hospital, and the man I just mentioned to you, he was there with us. And we're sitting there, and I had in my mind a picture of a little blonde-headed girl. Ann had a miscarriage prior to that, so that might have been the blonde-headed girl. Wouldn't it be great to get to heaven and see that? Can I share with you what I believe? You don't have to believe it. I believe when a couple loses a baby in infancy, I believe when that couple gets to heaven, that baby will still be a baby. And they'll be able to behold that baby maturing in heaven. I don't have any evidence for that. I don't have any proof. But I can tell you the Bible does talk about children in heaven. Boy, I'd like to anchor there a while, but I better move on. The similarity of Jesus. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I was looking for a little blonde-headed girl. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, they wheel one of them plastic cages with a bushy-headed, black-headed boy right in front of me, and I'm just sitting there. My daddy jumped up. He said, there, that's it right there. That's him. It's a boy. I said, what? I'm looking for a little blonde-headed girl. I figured that she probably, well, I hate to say it, she probably looked like me. That's a curse on anybody. Because this one, he didn't look nothing like me. He never looked nothing like me. He looks more like them Tates. Genetics you can't get away from. Now, I'm being humorous. Don't cry. Laugh. Amen. You see, you may look at my son and say, well, boy, he sure looks like his mama. And he does. But if you hang around him long enough, you'll see he has my traits. Every time I say something critical to him, I say, you got that from tapes. My friend, you ever heard somebody say about their child, boy, they can't deny them? Yeah. Just the other day, I was asking about Chuck and Sharon's granddaughters that come to church with here at Sunday school that sit back there with them, Jackie and Jessie. I've never met their parents. I said, who do they favor? Do they rather favor their mother or their father, you know? Seemed like one of them said their mother, another one said their father. So she showed me a picture of them, you know. And immediately, you see, I could see the, what? The similarity. You see, Jesus was not only like God, he was God, manifest in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Took upon him a body, hallelujah. Nobody knew who he was till John. Oh, Mary had her suspicions, sure she did. Boy, she's a study, ain't she? Catholics ruined Mary, they did. But I'm not going to dwell on that. We see the similarity. Son of God, he's called the Son of Mary. There are even places he's called the son of Joseph, the son of the carpenter. You see this? He had similarities to all of them. There's only one thing that he did not have that they had, and that was sin. That's why he was virgin born. The voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Woo, that's enough for me. But then the Father said this, in whom I am well pleased. We see the majesty of Jesus. Wow. Wow. We read about one man who had a testimony that he pleased God. His name was Enoch. One day God snatched him out of here before he ever died. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But here we see him saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That testifies of the majesty of Jesus of Nazareth. What majesty are you talking about, preacher? He was the perfect son. Brother Gary, Brother Larry, Brother Danny, can't none of us say that. I sure can't. He was the perfect son. Now think about it. He was the perfect son, not only of God, his father, but he was the perfect son to Mary. He was the perfect son to Joseph. What was he? He was a carpenter. You ever had anybody heard anybody say about their son? Well, I'll tell you what. He sure is a good boy. But I'm sure they're not perfect. But the majesty of Jesus was that he was perfect. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways, just like you and I are. But he never, ever sinned. And because he was the perfect son, he became the perfect sacrifice. Ooh. Oh, that Passover lamb, Exodus 12. God said, you shut you up a lamb that is without blemish. Friend, no man could have died for my sin because all men are sinners just like me. But because Jesus was a perfect son, without sin, without blemish, he became the perfect sacrifice. And that's the majesty of Jesus Christ. So when he died upon that cross, hung there for 6 hours, when he approached the end, he said, it is finished. I've heard some of these television preachers preach that when Jesus died, that he went down into hell. And I ain't talking about the place of departed dead. He went into the flames of hell to pay for our sin. My friend, that's foolishness. When Jesus said it was finished, he didn't have to do anything else to take care of my sin and your sin. No, sir. It was finished. He was the perfect son, so he could be the perfect sacrifice, so that he could be the perfect savior and the perfect sovereign. What does that mean, preacher? That means if I can trust Jesus Christ to save my soul, I can trust him with any aspect of my life. Amen. Most people are like this. Well, I'll go to church because it's the right thing to do, and I want to set a right example for my children. Or I want to be a good citizen. I want to do this. I want to do that. Amen. And then they all go on about their business. But what you need to understand this morning, brothers and sisters, is this. We stand in the house of God today and we say, I believe God, I trust God with all my heart. But when you go out the doors, are you carrying that trust with you again? When you talk, you're talking with a loved one, and all of a sudden, before your eyes, that loved one passes away. Can you trust God? Can I tell you a secret you won't tell nobody? And I've seen this confirmed more than once. Miss Linda was sitting outside with Ricky when Brother Rodney's heart stopped. She said his head went back and his mouth opened. You know what happened? That's what I told Brother Rodney. I said, Brother Rodney, your soul was fixing to leave your body. Can I tell you where your soul exits your body? It exits through your mouth. I've never come upon a person that was deceased, no matter how long, a few minutes or hours, that their mouth wasn't wide open. Oh, I can't confirm that. I'm just telling you what I saw. And that's what happened up there. I told Brother Rodney, your soul was about to leave your body. And God put his hand over his mouth. And those ladies put their hands on his chest. And he's still with us. Can you trust God? Huh? And I'm going to tell you what Miss Linda said. I hope she don't get mad at me. She said, I thank God who has prepared me for the time when that happens. Man. Can you trust God? Have you ever trusted him to save your soul? He's the perfect son, perfect sacrifice, perfect savior. The only, if anybody could ever save you, it was only him. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Have you ever trusted him? Preacher, what does it mean to trust Christ? It means that you read the account of the Word of God and you behold Jesus on that cross and you realize as he hung there, he didn't hang there for anything he ever did. He was the innocent, the perfect one, dying for the guilty, the imperfect ones, which was me and is you. And the Bible says this. Do you believe that? And can you trust him that when he said, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, if you can trust him with your soul, you can trust him with anything you have. Amen. Amen. Brother Hayward, will you come? Miss Brandywine, we're going to sing a song. I've been too long.